Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. We've all probably heard that it is not a good thing that the woman in a relationship be the gatekeeper of sex. However, I think that probably everyone listening here has gotten themselves into a situation, a period of time in their marriage, where you have actually become the gatekeeper of sex. So how do we, knowing that this is a potential inevitability, how do we make sure to get ourselves out of that area of gatekeeping sex? Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy, the sex and intimacy podcast for Catholic women. My name is Ellen Holloway, and I am a Catholic speaker and coach who specializes in sex and marital intimacy. And I am on a mission to help you actually enjoy and desire good, holy sex with your spouse. We are going to be talking about how to not become the gatekeeper. We're going to be talking about how that dynamic comes up in relationships, in marriages, and just some tips then on how to take that dynamic off of the table and build in a healthier dynamic that includes more communication and things like that. And joining us, we have Grace Stark. Grace, could you introduce yourself to us?
I am the editor of an organization called Natural Womanhood. We're a nonprofit based out of San Antonio, Texas, that works to promote natural family planning and fertility awareness from an evidence-based standpoint. And we exist because we believe that every woman can learn to understand and know and claim her fertility as good and beautiful.
Yes. And if you have not checked out Natural Womanhood, definitely check it out. So gatekeeping, this is, I just see this all the time. And I think Grace and I too, we have both experienced this in our own marriages of like this dynamic coming up of the woman becoming the gatekeeper of sex, either because of charting and having the chart and being the one that knows if you're fertile and or infertile. And so therefore, like kind of knowing if, you know, if you're trying to avoid pregnancy, like when is a green or a red day, or kind of becoming a gatekeeper for some other reason of, you know, just not wanting to have sex and they're like not prioritizing sex and just continually saying no. So we're going to be talking about just gatekeeping in general. Mm-hmm. But I see those as kind of the two big reasons why the woman becomes the gatekeeper. Do you see anything else, Grace?
Yeah, no, I think you kind of hit it on the head there. You know, hopefully if there's like deeper issues with, why you're reluctant to have sex with your spouse that might stem from, you know, the only other thing that comes to mind is maybe like trauma or abuse. I would hope that those are things that you had talked about before you got married, that this isn't something that's continuing into your marriage. But certainly, you know, that I think can be part of it. And if it is something that's holding you back from giving yourself over to your spouse, it's definitely something that you should seek out help, you know, namely in the form of good therapy for, and
definitely
openness and honesty with your spouse about where you're coming from if you haven't been forthcoming about certain details.
Yeah. And so I kind of want to speak into the charting aspect first, because I think sometimes there are some really simple things that can be just like implemented into your relationship that can really alleviate that feeling of being a gatekeeper. Mm-hmm. So, and what we're talking about with like charting and feeling like the gatekeeper as charting is like, okay, you as the woman, you are the one that observes the signs. Mm-hmm. There's no one else that can do that. Like,
that husband's not going to wipe you, yeah, right? Unless you're like ill and they're being called to take care of you that way, which, you know, in sickness and in health, it can happen.
I mean, but, and that's beautiful, but at that time you probably don't need a chart because there's
you're probably not thinking about sex. Yeah, if you've got something like that going on, right? Not to make light of anybody's situation like that, but right. Yeah, keeping things in broad strokes here. Yes, you're the one observing those signs when you go.
Exactly.
To the
like
bathroom.
There's nothing. Yeah, there's nothing your husband can do in that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. However, that is simply one aspect of utilizing natural family planning,
yeah,
in your marriage. Mm-hmm. And so what I think the biggest thing is sitting down, the two of you, and brainstorming ways that your husband can be involved and share responsibility for using natural family planning. And this can look like a lot of things. I know, like, a really common suggestion if you use like a symptothermal method is like, oh, the man is in charge of the temperature. And that I feel like maybe works for 10% of the couples. Like, mm-hmm. honestly, I didn't work for my husband and I, let's be real. But if that works, fabulous. However, like if you use a device like perhaps a temp drop or the Clear Blue fertility monitor that has a step that needs to be done of like a read time or mm-hmm. a syncing that needs to be done, that is something that your husband absolutely could take on. And mm-hmm. I don't see it as a very difficult thing, right? So I'm just thinking of like the temp drop that I have. Like I could take it off in the morning and then just put it on his side of the bed. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're in charge of syncing that. Mm-hmm. And it syncs to the app. Or I've heard of lots of couples who use the Clear Blue fertility monitor. And the husband is the one who actually like, because it takes 5 minutes for it mm-hmm. to read, which is a really long time. I mean, it's not that long, but it feels like forever.
Time. Yeah.
And so like the husband can actually be the one who like looks at the monitor and puts that in the chart. I think too, another one of just like kind of like shared charting in, you know, if you chart on an app, like
you can share
it on both of your phones. Yeah. Yeah, you can share it.
Yeah.
You can like both be logged in on the app and just like share in that interpretation mm-hmm. of the chart too. Mm-hmm. One thing that was like so beneficial for my husband and I is actually when we were being trained to become instructors mm-hmm. and he got like, you know, he and I both, right, got this crash course in like everything that has to do with like finding the fertile and infertile window. Like he and I are at equal levels of being able to read the chart and say, oh, we're in the fertile window right now. We're not in the fertile window.
That's crucial.
And so I think that is crucial is like, that both of you be able to interpret the chart and to where the woman is not the only interpreter.
Yeah.
So those were my like, those were my big things. What else, Grace? What are you thinking of?
Yeah. I mean, I'm super old school. I still chart with a paper chart. I have never been able to get back. I've never been able to get into an app or anything like that. And I worry about like data sharing and that sort of thing because some are more private than others. But I just like having a paper chart. I like having a log in my hands of my fertility over the years. As far as we use symptothermal as well, as far as like the temp thing, you can kind of do what you're talking about with, you know, one of the wearable devices, the temp drop or whatever. And with a thermometer that goes in your mouth, the basal body thermometer that just saves your last recorded temperature, mine does. So like I take my temperature in the morning and then I just put it on my bedside table. And so a lot of times my husband will be the one to walk over, you know, in the evening and click it on and record the temperature for the day on my paper chart. And then at that point that prompts him to ask me, okay, what kind of day was it today? What did you see? What symbol should I be putting down? You know, that sort of thing. So yeah, absolutely. Having your spouse have the same level of buy-in on the knowledge of how to like fill out a chart, whether or not it's inputting it into your chosen app or on your paper chart, like what do each of the symbols mean? You know, just like that kind of stuff, making sure, like you said, that you're at that same level of knowledge about the how-to of the charting. And then wherever possible, having your husband be the one to input the data, because then they can see just in real time as you can what the data says, right? If you both know how to interpret it, it's right there in front of you. And, you know, sometimes it's funny, my husband will be the one who'll look at it and because he's the one putting in the data and he'll be like, oh, okay, we only have one more night or whatever. And then the next day I usually get a text like, what kind of day was it today? Because he's anticipating, right? Like day number four is coming up or whatever, you know, when you're breastfeeding and trying to set your basic infertile pattern or whatever. So when they know just as much as you do and know the right questions to ask, all of that can be ways so that it's a shared thing, that you're not this gatekeeper of this knowledge that you have. And honestly, like it helps keep me accountable to charting too. And he knows that over the years, we've been married for almost 10 years now. Like he knows that if he doesn't always prompt me, like maybe just through a text during the day, like, hey, what kind of day is it looking like? Or, hey, you know, did you take your temp and happen to see what it was this morning? Or before we go to bed that night, do you have your thermometer right next to you? It keeps me accountable to making sure that during the day I am doing the observing that I need to be mm-hmm. doing, because I can fall into the pattern of just being like, I'm not going to look this time when I go to the bathroom, or, you know, just it keeps yeah. it in my mind too, which is important because I know it's important information to him. So,
well, and I think a key here is just kind of like equivalent buy-in of both you and your husband. Mm-hmm. And if your husband shares the responsibility for natural family planning, then like there's a reason that he should have buy-in to this, because if he encourages you to chart as well as you possibly can, mm-hmm. then there's going to be, like, if you're trying to avoid pregnancy, there's going to be less abstinence, because the better data you have,
yeah.
like the smaller your fertile window is going to be.
Yeah.
Like pretty much across the board. Like if you,
the you more know, confident you can be charting,
right.
in the decisions exactly. that you're making together. Right.
Yeah.
And I think therein lies, again, where NFP just has this incredible ability to bring things to the surface in your marriage, whether you want them brought to the surface or yep. not. Right. Like if you're having a really hard time getting the level of buy-in that you expect from your spouse on this, start asking the questions. Why mm-hmm. are you not with me on this? What do we need to do so we're on the same page? Do we need to take a refresher course? Do we need to do, you know, another like consultation with our teacher? A lot of teachers, you know, are just waiting to be reached out. If you have questions.
I've talked about this on the podcast before.
Yeah.
So, just like, we're just sitting around like, hey guys, ball's in your court. We're like, we don't know what you need.
Exactly.
Like, just let us know.
Exactly. So, you know, and not an accusatory way with your spouse, but like, what do you need to have more buy-in on this? Because if it's going to mm-hmm. work, we both have to be on top of it. And so, you know, that can bring up other issues like, well, maybe your spouse doesn't really believe it works that much, or maybe they have some resentment towards it or something. And these are all really important issues to talk about as a couple that is using NFP for their, you know, primary family planning. It's going to lead into other questions about like, what is it that we're trying to do this month, and how, mm-hmm. you know, if you don't seem to have that much buy-in, you know, I thought you didn't want to have another baby anytime soon, but what I might be hearing if you don't have the buy-in on this is that you might be a little bit more open to having a baby than I'd realized. Mm-hmm. And is that true? You know, there's all sorts of conversations that can be spurred out of this that don't have to be, you know, like fights that
Absolutely.
Can help bring things to the surface that need to be talked about, because that's just what NFP does.
Really. I think that's something really important to remember is like, don't come at this assuming it's going to turn into a fight.
Yeah.
Like, because that, when we assume, mm-hmm. right? You make an ass out of me. Yeah. But truly, like, if we assume a conversation is going to lead to a fight, it's going to lead to a fight.
Yeah.
It will. But if we assume that a conversation is going to be just an open, honest, like, let's just talk about this. Let's ask these questions, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to come at that conversation with such a different posture,
yep.
like physically, and then as well as like your tone of voice is going to be different. Your yep. expressions are going to be different, right? And how you react to like what your husband says is going to be different, right? And so I'm not saying that like you're guaranteed that it won't turn into a fight mm-hmm. if you like approach it like that.
Yeah.
But you have a much higher chance of it not being a fight.
Yeah. And in general, I like the advice of when you're talking about something difficult with your spouse to like view the problem as your collective problem mm-hmm. that you're trying to find a collective solution to. So like, I feel like I'm the gatekeeper, right? Let's not make it like I feel like this and you're making me feel that way. It's, I feel like a gatekeeper. This is a problem we both need to solve together, mm-hmm. working together on that. I think that's just such a more helpful, productive way to approach any problem in your marriage, even if it has nothing to do with NFP. It's always you guys together versus the problem, right? And this is no different than any other marital issue in that way, I think.
Absolutely. I think another space that I'd like to speak into is the, I, come in contact with a lot of women, and you listening might be kind of in this boat of like, okay, everything that you're saying is not applicable at all, because mm-hmm. my husband has just said, I don't want to use NFP. Mm-hmm. I don't want anything to do with it. Like, this is your problem. And I just want to say, first off, like, I really feel for you. Yeah. If this is your situation, this is a very difficult situation. I think this comes up a lot of times if you have, you know, a disparity of cult marriage. Sorry, I'm using all theological terms. I should have said that normally. If you're married to a non-Catholic, or if you're married to a non-Christian, especially, is when these kinds of things come up. And I think something to kind of try to switch your mindset on is, if you feel like the gatekeeper of sex, and this is your situation, very likely you are, in fact, the gatekeeper of the information about your fertility. You're not the gatekeeper of sex, but it feels like you are. Mm-hmm. But you actually are, in fact, gatekeeping the fertility information. And so what I want you to do is find a way to regularly communicate your fertility status to your husband. Mm-hmm. Whether that is like daily sending him a text of like, by the way, I'm still in my fertile window. Looks like maybe 3 or 4 days from now, it kind of depends on, you know, what I mm-hmm. see, what I'm tracking, right? Mm-hmm. And like keeping that open communication about where you are in your, even if he doesn't want anything to do with the charting, he doesn't want to help with the charting, he doesn't want to help with interpreting, you can still make sure that he is aware of where you're at in your fertility cycle. I think that that is a huge, like, it opens the door to communication and it can really alleviate that feeling of being the gatekeeper, because like, whether you realize it or not, you can very easily gatekeep that information if your husband wants nothing to do with the chart. Yeah. Because if he's not looking at it, he doesn't know.
Yeah. And that's a really, I think that's a really great point, that there's gatekeeping that can happen in different ways. And if you are in a situation where your spouse doesn't seem to want to have anything to do with NFP, but you're still keeping that information, that line of information open, and they still, you know, approach you, they still try to initiate, and you're in a fertile part of your cycle, then, you know, you're not really the gatekeeper so much there, because they have the information. They're making mm-hmm. a decision based on information, which tells you that, you know, they are open to the possibility of, you know, conception possibly happening. And so at that point, that might be a great time for you guys to have a conversation that you've been needing to have. Like, well, I did tell you, you know, that I am fertile. And then let them know I am or am not open to the possibility of conception right now. It seems like you're telling me you are open. So how do we feel about this? And who knows what information, what conversations can come from that sharing of information, especially if there's a spouse who's been like really reluctant to be out in the open with some of these conversations.
Yeah. And I recommend actually like sharing it either like via text, email, or like with your words. I've heard a lot of like jokes about, oh, we have a bowl and there's either green marbles in it or red marbles. Please don't do that if this is your situation. Like, if you have a different dynamic and like that's just a funny way that you guys communicate, mm-hmm. great. Like, that's fine. But we're talking about like, if this is your situation where your husband doesn't want anything to do with charting, communicate it with words. Please don't communicate it with like a sticky note on his side of the mirror or something like that. It, because what we want to do is open up the lines of communication, because I think, and Grace, you said this before we even started recording, like the main issue here with feeling like the gatekeeper is a lack of communication somewhere. Mm-hmm. Somewhere along the lines, there's a lack of communication. And your job is to kind of like sit down and figure out, okay, where is the lack of communication? And where can I make sure that that communication then happens, right? Is the lack mm-hmm. of communication that I'm not, you know, sharing the information about my fertility? Is the lack of communication that we haven't really sat down and talked about discernment very much. And so we're not even really sure where each other lies on the, do we want a baby? Do we not want a baby right now? Right? Yeah. Are we avoiding or not? Does the lack of communication lie deeper into just like a discomfort in talking about sex and pleasure and intimacy?
Yeah.
Is there a discomfort in initiating, you know? And those are just a couple of examples, but it's like, you need to figure out where the communication problem is happening and then work from there.
And then two, you know, being honest with yourself, asking yourself, like, what have I possibly done to feel like the gatekeeper? Especially if you do have buy-in from your spouse with NFP. So like flipping the script here a little bit. You've got a spouse who has the buy-in, who has the knowledge, and yet you're still feeling like you're the gatekeeper somehow, you know. And I think at that point, it requires some honest questions of yourself. Like, am I ever initiating? Does he feel like he's almost the gatekeeper in a way because he's the only one who ever initiates? And that if he didn't initiate, we just never would have sex. Or, you know, are you saying no all the time? Have you made yourself into the gatekeeper by having your default be no instead of, you know, more of an openness, unless you've got, you know, unless you're fertile and you really have great reasons to not try to conceive, or, you know, you've got other things going on, whatever. Being honest with yourself too, if you might be contributing to some of that, that feeling of gatekeeping is important.
Yeah. I think when something that's so common, you know, in marriage, because we're both fallen human beings and we're trying to come together and like live together, it is so easy as soon as there is a marriage problem to just be like, well, it's the other person's fault that this is going on. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to look and say, okay, every marital issue that we have, and Grace kind of, she kind of alluded to this earlier, like every issue that we have is a shared issue. Both of us have contributed in some way. Maybe one person kind of contributed to the issue more, right? But there is some amount of responsibility that you need to take in any of these issues. Mm-hmm. It's something that Grace and I want to challenge you to do is she mentioned like, hey, is your default to your husband's initiation no? Is that you? Do you default to no? Because you're always tired, because there's always things to do, because you never feel like having sex, because et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We want to challenge you to change your default to yes. That unless there really is like some big reason why you can't have sex right now, like just say yes.
Yeah.
Even if you're not feeling it, even if you're not ready there, right? Like, this is actually something that my husband and I talked about a couple of months ago. And I was like, you know what? I need to change my default to yes. Cause like my default has been no. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of realized this issue that we had. And I was like, no wonder, no wonder we're having problems. Right. Mm-hmm. And so now it's like, if my husband initiates and I'm just like really not feeling it, I know I want to say yes, but I communicate that then. And I'm like, okay, I want to say yes to you, but honestly, like, here's where my head's at. Mm-hmm. Here's where my energy level's at. Like, here's all of these things. And so if you want to have sex right now, I need your help.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have to.
Yeah.
We're going to need to spend a lot of time in foreplay, or I'm going to need you to, like set the scene right now. Like, give me 10 minutes to go, like, read my book by myself and, like, make the bedroom look beautiful, or, like, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of like make that a shared, again, make it a shared issue, right? Your tiredness is now a shared issue.
Right. Well, and it's also what we were talking about before. Don't gatekeep information about yourself, right? Mm-hmm. If you let them know, like, I want to say yes to you right now, but here's how I'm feeling. Here's what's going on in my head. I guarantee that most of the time your husband's going to be like, okay, I'll help you out with that, you know?
Right.
Like, they're like,
guys,
they're
so your solutions. Husband wants to have sex with you.
Yes. And they're so solutions oriented, right? If you tell them, if you do this, if you do X, you know, it's going to help us get to Y, like, you know, or whatever, you know, and they're going to say, okay, I can do that. Like, men need that sometimes. Just like, what can I do? Yeah. Tell me what I can do and let's make this happen. You know, I think, yeah, that gets right back to what we were talking about earlier on with don't gatekeep information about yourself. Don't close down. Don't just, you know, say to yourself, oh, I'm all touched out and I don't even want to get into this with him right now. Be honest. You know, the 2-year-old was hanging on me all day long and screaming at my feet. I have a headache. But I'm not telling you no. I'm telling you, here's maybe why I'm not saying yes right off the bat. But if you can kind of help me get into the mood, if you can rub my shoulders for a while and help ease some of this headache mm-hmm. I've got coming on, if we can talk about how, you know, you're going to help out with something tomorrow so that I can get some of this off my mind about everything I've got going on this week. You know, they're going to be receptive to that. And
right. I hate the very common, like, oh, I have a headache and that is the same as no. Mm-hmm. Or like, I just feel like I see like t-shirts that say that, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. and it's just really unfortunate because that can just lead to a whole myriad of other issues. Mm-hmm. And so I think like just something that's really truly helpful in this is our challenge of like, if you change your default to yes, then it becomes an opportunity to communicate mm-hmm. about how to fix the problem, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yes, it would be very good for us to come together right now. So how are we going to make that happen? Huge.
Yeah. And then when you do say no, right, then your spouse knows to take that seriously. They know not to press. Yeah. They know like, well, you know, she pretty much always says yes to me. She must really just not be feeling it tonight. And that's okay. And this is an opportunity for me to die to self a little bit. And, you know, either offer the back rub with absolutely no expectations other than that we're going to go to bed and sleep soundly after, you know, like that's an opportunity for them to help them kind of put the pieces together when your no really means no and your yes really means yes, you know, and you do that by being open and honest about when either of those things is true.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's beautiful. Well, this has been just a beautiful conversation. Grace, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Is there anything else you wanted to add in?
Yeah. And I think there's the gatekeeping thing is a totally normal thing to feel. I don't think you have to feel like, oh, like this is, I'm the only one who's ever felt this way. And this means there's like such a problem in our marriage and blah, blah, like literally everyone, I think, who uses NFP in their marriage, at some point, you're gonna fall into that feeling. It's just going mm-hmm. to happen. And it goes back to what we talked about at the very beginning of the episode, the reality that you're the one with the information, right? So, because your husband's not gonna be wiping you. And I mean, that's just it. We'll go full circle.
That says that, like, I'm the one with the information because my husband's not gonna wipe me. Like,
yes. So don't feel like this is some insurmountable problem if you feel this way with your spouse, that it's always going to be this like awful feeling and you're never going to get past it. And this means that NFP doesn't work or any of those negative feelings, you know, that can come up when you feel this way. Everyone, whether you have a great marriage or not, I think we all go through seasons of this, especially probably in the trickier seasons like postpartum and mm-hmm. Those transitional seasons, perimenopause, that sort of thing. So take heart in the fact that this is something that we literally all deal with. And a lot of us have been able to come out on the other side of it. Like, I have not felt this way in my marriage in a very long time. This was kind of
same.
Yeah.
Same.
That doesn't mean I'll never feel that way again, because we're human beings and we can fall back into patterns of bad habits, really, you know, not communicating and that sort of thing. But that's a good check, right? It's like, oh, I'm feeling this way again. Oh, what are we doing that's not mm-hmm. conducive to like good communication and a good fruitful sex life together? What can we do better? So, you know, don't feel like you're alone. Don't feel like there's no way out of it. Yes, it's frustrating, but it's also just kind of part and parcel of living this very countercultural lifestyle that we live here in NFP land. I think everything that we've talked about today is really, really solid advice from people who've been there,
right?
For who no longer feel that way currently, you know, how you can work through it and how, you know, ultimately all of these different challenges that we work through when we're living out NFP do make for better, stronger marriages on the other side of these things. So
absolutely. That was beautiful. Thank you so much for saying that.
Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform that gives you the option to rate or review, we'd love for you to do that because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time.